Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh,
you're in the madhouse now.
Ladies and gentlemen, what it do? It's going down. What you ready? It's kind of smoky up in here.
What's up? What did he say? What did he smoke?
Yeah, Juan, Javi's over here on some, what did he smoke? He's like, you know, having a convo with the mic.
You know what I'm saying? I'm all up on the mic. I'm intimate with the mic. It keeps coming closer to me.
You know what I'm talking about? Mic all up in my grill.
Floating microphone. I like it. I like it, though, because I always stay too far away.
Yeah, it's like shit. Automated.
Even Rob's got a mic this episode.
Dude, it was so weird not having a mic or a camera.
And a camera, bro.
Yeah, I know. It was good, though. It was fun producing everything, because with four people, it's a lot more to do, but
we need to send Juan for Chick-fil-A more often. get Rob some camera time.
He's going
to
hear it like, fuck it.
That's a cool word now. Chick-fil-A. Just pull on your left ear. Who wants Chick-fil-A?
You know what I'm saying?
And then it'd be like, hey, man, go get some Chick-fil-A, big dog.
People are arguing right now, like, Chick-fil-A, there's stuff better out there, you know?
Such as Cane's.
I know. I would have said Cane's.
You know what I'm saying? But
well, Marisol, what it is, bro, is she likes getting their little salad thing from there.
Oh,
superfood?
Okay. Superfood salad?
The kale thing, which is like doused in oil and God knows what else. But
people convince themselves that Chick-fil-A is healthy fast food as if there's such a thing.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah,
I do
right.
agree. It tastes cleaner. Yeah. You don't. What it is it you don't feel as guilty. You know,
You're getting protein at least.
Yeah, versus McDonald's. Yeesh. like it's just greasy and slutty.
When's the last time y'all had
McDonald's?
Yeah, McDonald's. That guilty pleasure. The what? The slutty?
Yeah, just a greasy,
dirty,
slutty,
like the walk of shame.
A dirty little whore of a burger.
Okay. When you put it like that, I want one.
Oh, my God.
It's that whole, with Chick-fil-A, it feels more wholesome. Like the girl next
door
kind
of vibe.
Yeah, because they're closed on Sunday. Like, this is the Lord's burger. This
Yo,
is
my Chick-fil-A.
The Lord's chicken
What happened
nuggets?
To the tequila bottle, bro?
Buscas. Oh, let me go get it. Me and Javi started drinking it. You want ranch water?
Sure.
Okay, right.
They're sponsoring an episode, but of course.
Y'all keep talking because I'm not going to switch.
Sure, okay. That's fine, brother. Thank you.
I feel like that contributes to the conversation. The
Rob's like, great. I fucking come in on my day off to record y'all shit. And y'all got me fetching
fucking
ranch waters.
Bartender.
Fucking P. Diddy over here.
Over here sending Juan for Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Hey, wait. ¿Te gusta el cheesecake, carnal?
You know, that could be your... Chick-fil-A. The last episode with T about your reality show, about your Diddy moment. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Send him for Chick-fil-A.
Can you imagine if dude, we could actually do like some kind of series where like...
Send him for tacos?
Where like different comedians could do cameos. Like say you're in town today. Uh-huh. We're knocking out some podcast episodes and then pretend that like Tio Juve is making the band series is like popping on YouTube.
Making the banda?
Yeah. So
with
he
Tio
could be.
Juve?
And then you come out and you do your like Como La Flor thing. Yeah. He's like, ¿sabes qué, carnal? You have some dance moves. You're making it to the next step.
Get Midnight on there with his pipes, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He could do a Negro spiritual.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could bust out a Negro spiritual that he freestyled on top of his head.
He could drop the first gospel banda album.
Because he could sing rancheras and everything, too. Yeah, you sure right. Have you ever heard him sing John Henry, Lay Your Hammer Down?
Yeah, boy, that was my roommate back in the day. It was always which worked. When me and Midnight were in the hotel room together, two big boys, we get in that hotel room, we drop that motherfucker down to 60 degrees, as low as the hotel would let it go. Right?
We're live on air. Look, Javi, say it again what you said.
I was telling him how we'd freeze out the fucking La Quinta room. Like, we'd drop that air conditioning down together. Man, he asked me if I ever heard you sing John Henry. I go, man, I used to room with that motherfucker. He'd be used
Lay
to be
your
there
hammer down.
At night, fucking brushing his teeth. I'm like, John Henry. Fucking, we'd have the air condition on 60 degrees. Like, it matched. You know, then I started... Two bears, one cave. Then I started rooming with Bryson...
Oh.
You know, and he's from a tropical climate, you know, so he's got to have it at 85 degrees. Yeah. So that just became a race to whoever got there first gets the AC.
Go ahead, Midnight.
him and Blame, Bryson yeah. and Blame had to have it on like on 80, almost 90.
Yeah, they're tropical people. They're, notorious. And they're skinny, too.
Yeah, they're like the part of the 10% body fat crew.
Mm-hmm. Man, if it's not 72 degrees, that like 72 degrees, that's their like hour, that's like hour 61.
Yeah. Yeah, we drop that shit all the way down. Just as soon as we get in, it's just dee. See how low that bitch go.
We start looking for the thermostat as soon as we get in there.
Sounded like we were on The Price Is Right. Just
dee. Javi, come on
over. Shit, damn, this one only goes down to 64.
Hey, Midnight's doing a show with Ken Flores out of Chicago tonight, right? Midnight?
Yeah. It was Rene Vaca and Ken Flores, man, from Chicago. Hey, man. I'm from L.A., man. So
I haven't seen that dude. He's coming down to Corpus, so hopefully I get to check him
Ken?
Out.
Is Ken?
No, Rene. Oh, okay, Rene okay. is. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, hey, y'all got to do a triple threat tour with Ken and just all like, you know, big boy shit.
Yeah.
Big boy energy.
Oh, that would be dope, man. Yeah, man.
Well, hey, brother, just wanted to check in. I know I just called you 5 minutes ago, but hey, man, we got to get you to Houston so we can get you on the show in vivo.
On the what did he
say? Oh, yeah, man. I'll be there, man, pretty soon, bro.
All right, bet. When you're not on the road, all right, for sure. All
right.
Went away. Go ahead there. Lay your hammer down.
Yeah, man.
Lay yo.
I'm telling you, that, making the banda, bro, with Tio Juvie.
Hell yeah,
making
bro.
The banda with Tio Juvie.
He got your keys on each of you?
So
you
can no, pop. He took the.
Oh, he took
he took the trunk.
Yeah. Damn, let me open it then.
Yeah, what?
The
oh, okay. Oh, yeah, if not, I'll wait. If not, I'll wait. We're going to do some Tehuacan.
For the sponsor, shout out.
Shout out Tehuacan Mineral Water and Pi Tequila. We are combining them for a ranch water experience.
The experience.
Lay your hammer down. John Henry.
I do like the concept of the ranch water because like me and Rob were talking, you know, mm-hmm. but. You hydrate while you dehydrate.
While you're out there doing man shit.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what it is for, right? Ranch water, you're out on the ranch. There ain't no,
it's the
no
official,
shade.
Yeah, this is the official ranch water of the...
But you still want to sip on something? You know, feel some kind of way?
You know what I'm talking about?
Get you some tequila and some mineral water.
You know what's crazy, bro? Yesterday we recorded an episode with the owner of the tequila uh-huh. company, of Pi Tequila. And we ended up somehow Googling... like health benefits of tequila mm-hmm. and like 15 pretty legit, you know, I don't know the data and the science on it,
yeah,
but I trust the science when it comes to this. It was mm-hmm. saying like I think it was almost like a probiotic, good for digestion, Ever the owner, he was saying that it's the only alcohol that's more of a keep your spirits up, not like a
right.
like wind down, your energy down, drops.
Yeah, you can actually feel you're trying more to go to sleep. Effervescent on tequila. You know, that's why they say tequila makes your clothes fall off. You know what I'm saying? Is it the
because what? Hold on,
it's a country song.
Oh,
tequila
okay.
makes your clothes fall off. Like, okay, like alcohol actually is a depressant. That's why mm-hmm. some people. Like get real fucking sad. She took the dog.
Yeah,
bro,
the fucking dog,
bro.
No mames, güey, el perro, güey.
You know, and you get real sad like that. But tequila's like, yeah, it's an actual like lift you up. I could see that. Is it? Did he say? Is it the only plant derived?
That's a good question.
Plant derived.
Well, not plant because like, do you consider potato or rice plant?
You see, I don't know.
A plant is more green.
Right, because this actually comes from a agave, right?
Yeah.
So
the fermented distilled
everything else
sugar
from grain.
Yeah, grain
or whatever, right?
Rice,
which is
corn.
Which grain is like it's a byproduct of the plant, right?
But ultimately, you get you squeezing out the sugar from either.
Right, you're just getting the sugar from whatever.
Ultimately, it's gonna have to be sugar.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
I'm just wondering why tequila seems to have. More
be
health
so
benefits
so different
than your normal, yeah.
I mean, it's my alcohol of choice,
the nectar of the gods.
See, pretty
you
much,
know what I'm
dude.
Goes back to your ancestors, the Mayans.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
First contemplated the
Viva la Raza,
the number zero.
Did the Mayans make that up?
No.
Or you quote in a movie? That's what
it said. I'm starting to Stand Deliver.
Okay, you quote Stand Deliver.
Almost, but apparently, that's one claim. But
maybe fake news.
But around the same time that the Arabics contemplated it, but I guess it's probably on some like archaeological shit. Like, oh, they were doing that math even before. It was done up. They found proof of it over there.
Yeah, there's always a debate, right? Like who came up with zero first? Yo, man, are you familiar with like pi, the number, and how and why? And
how it was?
Yeah, like what's the purpose of it? Nah. How they figured out or what?
Nah, math history. Nah, I mean, I don't. Well, because it is because like mathematician like was like at one point like a rock star. Like profession, dude. Like when you go back to like even like probably like Einstein stuff, because these were the motherfuckers that were figuring out how the world worked, right? You go back to you know in math and science and there was like things that were just like that's you know why ancient cultures had like gods of this and gods of that, because it's the only explanation you can fathom why this thing works. Right, and then when you get into the divinity of numbers and why we can start explaining some shit. That's why like early like scientists were like seen like witches or like something evil, because like, you're trying to explain something that we've already accepted as just the way it is. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of.
And back then it was all kind of like dichos and like superstition, right. Like not a lot of. It was just tradition, like you know that's. When you hear the howl of a wolf three times consecutive, that means someone's pregnant. Right. Like, what? Don't let her near the tomato sauce. She's menstruating right now. She can't make the sauce.
Right.
Like, what? Or like my babysitter, bro, she's still on a lot of, like, your kids are having nightmares. Y'all got spirits in here. Right. What? Spirits?
Right. Which when you get down to it, right, like when you talk about stuff like spiritual stuff like that, well, scientifically, we know negative and positive energy is a thing. Like you can absorb certain energy, so it's just what maybe like an older culture or understanding of the world would be an evil spirit. We're talking about like there's some negativity, there's some tension in the house, like something's off and needs to get you know.
So she busts out. The next thing you know, it's like she's burning sage. She's like, "Bring me that Ozarka water bottle that got holy water in it."
Yeah,
and she's doing something with that. Mm-hmm. Or like, for example, my baby's allergies are bad. She's like, "See, y'all need to bring me some more chia seeds. Y'all done used up all the chia seeds,"
right?
Which was a little concoction yogurt thing,
right? And a lot of some of that stuff.
I'm sure there's
work,
a lot of
but there's a scientific reason that it may be unknowns to the user of it, right? But there's a reason why the yogurt did what it did, or there's a. You know,
the probiotics,
right? There's probiotics in there, and whatever. But it's just, you know, the way the body works. But you know, but since if you don't know that scientific reason, then it's just going to be a superstition. Like I don't, this works. I don't know why does it work. Just I don't know. It just does. It works.
Cause,
you know, whatever.
It's all good.
Yeah, man. Like, where's this bartender at?
Hey, I like that shirt, big dog. Not for everybody.
This was the limited edition vintage. If you rip it, I will sock your nose. That's Jack Black from High Fidelity.
I will sock your nose.
Yeah, he's have you seen High Fidelity?
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like they're like all record store nerds.
Hey, you ain't lying. Rob disappeared.
He's like, disappeared. He's like, man, well, y'all good with one camera view.
Yeah.
You know, this will be a bonus episode or whatever.
Yeah, this is a bonus episode.
Whatever.
Brought to you by Manscaped.com.
Oh, get the sponsors in.
Manscaped.com. You know, that's a promo code situation.
Hit them.
Hey, Manscaped, if you want to sponsor the tour, we're open to that discussion.
Yeah.
But at the moment, thank you for listening, for helping out the listeners of the podcast, hooking them up with the promo code 20% off with promo code Chingo.
20% promo 20%. Code Chingo.
Yes, sir.
Trim it up. Trim the forest down there.
Yeah, the muffler.
You know, get the muffler.
The forest.
Looking right, high and tight.
But you know what? I ain't going to lie, bro. Like, at first, I was just like, okay, what is the big fuss? It's just like some trimmer things. And then it's like, you know, you just start walking around feeling a little bit taller.
It's me.
Your shoulders go back.
The landscape's a little different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're.
You got to have the right tool for the job. You don't want
to. You don't want no nicks, scrapes.
You don't want to get down there with a Norelco.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh no.
You don't get down there
mess up one side of your satchel.
Yeah, with the Mach 3, like this is designed for that terrain.
Yeah. You know which is a very very specific terrain. You know. Manscaped.com at checkout, punch in promo code Chingo and get 20% off. We appreciate Chingo. That big time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All the waterproof gadgets.
You know what I'm saying? And then you got the pie. We already did.
Oh, yeah. Pie tequila. Fascinating. He said, if you ever want to clog up a computer and just overrun its processes, mm-hmm. just tell it to calculate pie. He says, you could print out the number on sheets of paper and it'll go around the globe.
Yeah.
Ain't that some shit?
That part I knew, yeah.
Like a trillion. I think he said they're not even done finding pie. They're currently at a trillion digits.
Yeah.
But haven't they come up with quantum computing yet?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man.
I just figured out my Google Drive password the other day, man. I was locked out of that bitch for about a month. Yeah.
So now you got Buku scripts and all type of shit.
You know what I'm saying? That Google Drive.
I can't wait till that Chick-fil-A get here, though. By the way, I had to tell him, which Chick-fil-A to go to. Uh-huh. Because I noticed he not only is Juan on 3C4s, but he hit the weed a couple times. And I don't know how that's going to mix with 3C4s. You end up at the wrong Chick-fil-A. It
probably even them out.
Yeah, that's true. The adaptogens, carnal. Start getting in there. Taz.
Yeah, damn. Shit.
And then plus fuck it, let's throw some tequila in the mix.
Tequila in the mix, man. We're feeling good.
Hey, low-key. You know what's funny, man? You know what's funny is this spot, you know, we trying to launch it as a peer space as well, photography and stuff. So anyway, my wife, she's doing some stuff in the back, and she walks in to the cloud of smoke, and she's just like, golly, what's going on up in here? But by then, you know, it's like, now I'm in rapper mode. You know, that boy T just left, and I'm like, shit, you know who you married? You knew what it was before it even was. You knew what it was before it even was. What?
Shit. Why are you talking like
that? I've been like this. What? You knew who I was. You knew my lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes you got to, you know, you might have to take somebody to train station 12:30 at night. You're like, baby, I'll be back. You know what I'm saying? Got to go do a thing.
Yeah, man, I don't feel like I even.
¿Qué pasó, güey?
I don't even roll up anymore. Like.
Where'd you go?
No. There's nothing in the kitchen. I had to makeshift bottle opener.
Oh, bro, shit. It wasn't that serious. We could have just waited on Juan.
Nah, it's serious for me.
All right, well, thank you. Damn. Cheers.
How'd you get the other one open?
Which
happened to be open?
No, Juan was still here, so I used the bottle opener. How do I not have a bottle opener on me?
Well, when we finish decorating the set, we'll probably have one attached to the wall, like you in the man cave, Big Don.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Might have to go to Home Depot for that one.
Quintuple dip. Get you the official Chingo bottle opener. So you can open up your Tehuacan mineral water.
And drink what I drink. Drink the ranch water we drink.
Proud sponsor.
And use the same abridor that we have here on set.
You know what I'm saying? Get your own lines.
That's a quintuple dip, carnal.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, everyone. It's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kinds of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit OsbourneMediaHouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh,
you're in the madhouse now.
Quintuple.
I'm going to hit Raymond wait till I show you the quintuple dip.
Shit, you ain't up on it, man. We monetizing everything up in this bit.
That's how you do it.
You know what I'm saying?
But real talk, this particular show doesn't have a Patreon, but I'll have this discussion with Rob. Rob's the guru of all this shit, but what could we do to make it? Because I know right now it's a RPT, a Red Pill Tamales Patreon that we have. Mm-hmm. But if we were to repurpose it or change the logo, or I don't know if that gets too confusing. If people are like, hey, I signed up for a political show, not a network of four or five shows. But in my opinion, if we were to make it like, hey, this is the umbrella landing page, if you will, for the network. So that if there was a bonus episode with we got Beat King here, ESG, Javi Luna, or we got Juan Villarreal stopping by, you know, Danny Guerrero, you know, whoever it may be, and be able to be like, all right, well, the the rest of the episode is going to be for the patrons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And have it still be that instead of like, oh no, every show needs their own.
Yeah, I thought about that too, man. Like having just the Chingo Bling Network Patreon for supporters. And let me ask you guys as comics, because I've been, I told Sol yesterday, I was nerding out on old business books that I had read prior to like ever starting any entrepreneurial endeavors. So, and it was, I was reading about like sales vehicles, you know, like what is your sales vehicle? And as an entertainer or as like even podcast, the audience is the biggest vehicle because it's what's driving the eyes, the ears, the ticket buyers, right? So as having the more content, basically the volume of content is going to stack upon itself the more that you do, right? Mm-hmm. There's very little things that you could do as a comedian because jokes don't really, they wear out, like they flame out.
Yeah.
But content stacks upon itself when you get, you know, either the virality of something or the algorithm catches you or just fans that like it and share it.
To where people, so what you're saying is as a sales vehicle, volume in something like a medium like podcasting starts to snowball.
Correct.
Because someone might discover your show. They might discover this show a year from now.
Right.
And then now they're back binging.
Yeah. Pretty much. Is that kind of that's pretty close. Yeah, that's pretty dead on. And also like the amount of value you can offer with like a network. But I was gonna ask you guys, like, how do you think networks, because podcasters have been talking about this forever, and I think it was Adam Curry on Rogan recently was like, networks just don't work. Podcast really? Networks, right? Uh-huh. I don't know if you guys had any opinion on that. Like, I don't know if you know about like All Things Comedy, how they work it, or maybe even your mom's.
I mean, so I know all Things Comedy, it, you know, what little I know about it. I know when they started, they were big on, you know, the artists own the podcast and giving them the most that they could out of the deal. Cause I think prior to that, like, I think comics were like starting podcasts with these networks and they'd produce it. And then the show gets big and the actual comic that they blew up ain't getting, you know, nothing off it other than, you know, maybe selling some tickets. But as far as like the sponsorship and all that shit, they weren't getting too much. So I think All Things Comedy aims to kind of like give a little bit more. Is what I understand it. They're trying to be for the artist.
Yeah,
you know, kind of network. You know.
Yeah, I think Rogan always says like they basically have a network, but it's just like friends that come on the show and then friends help friends grow. Like, that seems like, if you're being super altruistic, it's the best way to go.
Yeah.
It might have like the best potential because everybody wants to come on the show and then they want to share their friend's show. It's not like a monetary network.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I'm almost like a co-op.
Basically, co-op. Yeah. That's what the Hoover and the band has here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I think that way works, right? Because other than that, like when it's just, and I know comics that, you know, oh, with this media company or whatever, and they have a studio we can go into and sit down, but you know, you're not retaining any kind of ownership or copyright for any of that material that you're in, content you're generating, other than the only thing you're really getting off of it is your views, which is great. You know, nothing against that, but then it's like anything, it's just so easy to, you know, I can just create a network. I can go home now. Hey guys, I got a podcast network, you know, and all your streams are now mine, you know, whatever, you know, and I was on one when I first started, and it wasn't really like, I was still producing and whatever, it was all mine, and they weren't really doing anything other than they had a web page where they would put up your podcast at, and that was basically their network. Like this, hey, these are all the podcasts under our umbrella, and that was cool.
What's funny about the time we live in now is like these old marketers have talked about, like, through time there haven't been that many examples of
cheers, gentlemen. Cheers? As you speak,
as I cheers. All right,
I
can't reach.
My bag got it.
Man, you guys are old.
It's such a big podcast studio, it's hard to reach across.
Like, if you think about the big vehicles for sales and eyeballs back in the day, it was newspapers first. Where the newspaper would get paid by the person buying the newspaper and paid by the advertisers advertising on the newspaper. Then came cable. You paid for cable, and then advertisers were paying the cable companies to advertise on cable. Now you've got social media, right? That's another like double dip for them, where they're having advertisers pay to be on social media, right? And they're getting paid basically because we're the product. Our information is the product. Our data is the product. So it's like there aren't that many blips in time where you're going to have examples like that. Newspaper, cable, and then social media. And the argument they were making is that like 10, maybe 15 plus years from now, this opportunity for volume of eyeballs won't be at the scale that it is now. It might be something else, but it's like take advantage of it now because it won't happen for a long time after this.
After this, meaning, what do you mean?
Like, the example was Mr. Beast, Like, he won't, like, for Mr. Beast to get 20 billion views on something in 20 years probably isn't going to happen. So whatever he's doing, examples like that today, is figure that out for whatever your sales vehicle or whatever you want your sales vehicle to be. If it is an audience, do as much as you can to get as many eyeballs so that later when this blip in time is gone and you're not having to figure out, like, what's after the internet? What's after YouTube, essentially, was the example they gave. And they're like, do it now. Like, you won't have another blip in time where you can get that many eyes and ears, which obviously we're trying to do, but it's like, what is it exactly? You know?
What's another example of sales vehicle? Because I'm not sure I'm grasping.
Yeah, what did he say?
Yeah,
So in order to generate money, that's your sales vehicle. For you guys, it would be ticket sales is sales vehicle one, the podcast, like ad revenue, sales vehicle two, anything that brings in money. And then you figure out which sales vehicle scales the fastest and then compounds onto itself. So content compounds because people share it, people keep watching it, they go back and listen. I listen to old podcasts all the time just because it's fun. Yeah. But products, they don't really do that. You have to either invent a really good product people want to continue to buy or reproduce product after product after product and keep selling and selling and selling versus having one thing that drives the sales and drives your revenue up. Okay. That makes sense? Like touring is the sales vehicle that will always exist as long as you're on the road. And it can compound upon itself if fans say, next time he's in town, you got to come watch the show. You know, you missed a really good show or whatever. But there aren't very many things that I think entertainers can do off the bat if they don't already have a large audience to do that. So you got to pick the one thing, which touring, obviously. Content is the second one, I would guess. And then figure out how to compound the eyeballs onto that. Mm-hmm. And it's content for you guys or for us, I guess, is what it is. So that's why, like, this little hack I taught, like, creating more volume faster allows you to put it out and then scale it with the next show so that you can bank a bunch of stuff and always be in the flow.
Okay. Basically, he's telling me I need to get into the studio and drop some hot fire.
Actually, that's true, too, man. Music.
I understood a lot of them words, man.
All right.
Like, I don't know if you... I don't even remember. This studio was loud as fuck about 20 minutes ago, so I was
really...
It
was loud.
I was really trying to key in onto all... So, shit, I'm going to remember some of them words later. And,
I'm going to write that shit down.
Understand what you just told.
Dude, it's just about figuring this shit out every day, man.
I'm going to go home and tell them, hey, babe, Rob said we need a new vehicle.
Yeah, sales vehicle.
He said, I got to get a sales vehicle so I can get to the shows. I don't know, maybe a Kia or something reliable.
After Rob's speech, Javi's like, so you said I need to wrap a vehicle so I can sell?
He wants me to sell cars. I don't know. He said sells vehicles. What after YouTube? I don't know.
That's that fucking nerdy marketing talk,
I don't know,
man.
What comes after YouTube.
VR, plugging the fuck in.
VR. That's it.
Bro,
that's
I, the future. Man, wait till one of these podcasts pops off to where, like, to the level to where this would be dope, where it's like, all right, in some of the markets where you having to do like a Wednesday or a Thursday, shit like that, it's like, no, now you're doing a whole weekend. Mm-hmm. So, like, you love the city, you know, there's potential there, you know, but it's like you could settle in, do a whole weekend, and not just be so beat up, like flying in, flying out,
yeah,
type of thing. But like in a perfect world where it's like you could really pick and choose and just be like, bro, like, I don't envy you being out there on the road like crazy. Like, imagine being able to, like, well, shit, I'm at my house right now. Mm-hmm. Like, how relaxed can we make this be? How comfy can we do this? So, like, when Juan and I were driving back after the corporate show, I forget what he said. What did he say? To where basically I was like, basically, bro, next time I do Corpus, if it's going to be in a more, like, really more relaxed manner, like, what does that look like? I said, for one, it'd be like, well, I hung out with my kids in the day on the beach. You're going to know I was in Corpus because I'm gonna have to have a killer tan when I come back. Like, hey, man, where you been? Did you do some fishing? Actually, I did. You know what I'm saying? Like have my family there, settle in, get some sun mainly. Because sometimes you do so much like... Well, it hasn't really been summer and all summery, sunny, but like it's like, man, when you're having to pick and choose, like, all right, I'm going to jujitsu, that's indoors, and after that, probably get something to eat. After that, go to the hotel.
Yeah, no, Corpus is great for that. A lot of comics do enjoy. I mean, granted, we're not Miami. Yeah. We're not shit. Hell, we're not even Galveston.
But y'all got palm trees and shit.
We got palm trees. We got sand. We got beach.
Y'all kind of nicer than Galveston.
We got
bro.
Good fishing.
Y'all nicer than Galveston.
I agree.
Galveston's little.
So comics do like it. You know, if you do like the beach, if you like a little bit of sun, or if you like to play, we got some okay golf courses down there. You know, whatever you're into, there's good fishing if you're into fishing. And yeah, that attracts people because it's kind of like, okay, I'm working, but it's kind of on some little bit vacation.
Mm-hmm. There's some water kind of nearby.
And those are fun. It's kind of like, that's why I love when we go to Denver every year, man. It's a little.
No ocean, little no beach.
Well, but there's different stuff, right? I grew up on the beach. So to me, I like mountains and shit like that. Like I get off on that. And that's like, I even love going out to El Paso, New Mexico. And like to them, they're like, oh, these aren't even that big of mountains. I'm like, this shit bigger than any. Shit, we got hills, and I mean, I'm talking about like little hills in Corpus. I grew up at sea level, so you know, it's just a change of scenery is nice, and I like the Denver Zoo. Me and Jesus Trejo back in the day, we went high as fuck to the Denver Zoo.
Didn't y'all do some jokes that night? Around.
Yeah, we did about some jokes the about the zoo. Yeah, I don't remember what we were both riffing on.
Well, you almost had a damn good time.
Yeah, we had a good time. Shoot, I even hung out an extra day that first time we did it, and I did a. They had a free day at the Denver Museum of Natural Science or whatever it was called, so I went and did, you know, hung out there. I actually ran into some people who had come to one of the shows that weekend there because it was like a free admittance day, so everyone and their mother was out there. And so they're like, oh, we saw you with Chingo Bling this weekend. What are you doing here? Like, oh, I stayed an extra day. I'm going to do some open mics. Like, I came to the museum. I was high as fuck. I went to the planetarium. They had a planetarium in there, which is great. Like, I was just...
Meanwhile, I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to go back to Denver. Like, I love Denver. I always try to line up my shows around my birthday just because it's like a little treat for me. But this year, we're having our meeting about the tour. Oh, and my soul's kind of like,
it's all right.
You did all right. You might want to cool off on it. And I'm like, no, I don't want to cool off on it. She's like, you know, maybe, you know, fall back a little bit. You had a good run. Damn, what you mean I had a good run?
You know, let you know, let me sell these yoga pants.
Yeah, let me get back on my boutique, little one.
Yeah.
Let me focus on the boutique right quick.
You know what I'm saying? Let me,
and you are?
You can go do a couple of your shows, you know.
All right. He want to do a couple of little shows for your little tour.
You know, you want to go... Go do your comedy thing. I know you love it.
Where you want to go, Papas? Oklahoma City? You want to go to Oklahoma City, Papas? You said you had fun there? Like you sleepy, Papas? Like midnight? Papasito?
I love that joke, man. Oh, yeah? Don't do that, though. Papas.
There was always one Papas at the end of at the end of the night.
Uh-huh. And then we had Papas after the show.
Well, that was about the dude that, like his girl babies him or has.
He is, you like spoiled, motherfucker.
Yeah, you look spoiled. Like she baby talks to you.
Like you come home tired. Oh, I'm feeling kind of babe. I'm feeling kind of tired.
Oh, you sleepy, you Papa. Oh,
Papa. Papatito. You sleepy. But he would do it, bro. He'd milk it, and the fucking crowd is just like falling apart. Like people about to piss their pants. You Papas. And then it'll become a callback. Like, hold on, Papas, I ain't talking to you.
That's funny.
Yeah, man.
It's masterful. It's that, technique. That, it's called
that
technique.
That early, midnight shit, man, I mean, he's great now, but even back then, I mean, he was just doing some great shit. And it's one of those iron sharpens iron situations.
Oh, yeah.
Like rolling with him like made me such a better comic because I knew he was going to kill it. And he's this high energy comic, and I can't do that. So I had to go the other way with my writing, and like, man, I gotta get even sharper with the writing just to stay level with what he's bringing to the table.
And then me, fucking rapper, what did he say?
Yeah.
Coming in trying to keep up.
Cause man, it's like a party when Midnight hits the stage, man.
It's like high energy. Like,
oh, I'll just to give him props real quick on this story specifically. We're doing Alabama. I'm trying to remember the city. It might have been Mobile. One of them cities, dog, but we're in Alabama, and it was like a new club. The club still smelled like paint and carpet. Like, it was super brand new. It was me, Jerry Garcia, who always kills. He's not used to having a rough night. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so Jerry had a rough time. I had a rough time. But in the middle, Midnight came, and like it's almost like me and Jerry misread the crowd, and he was able to disarm, figure out who the problem was. He basically like won the girls over, and Because we're just kind of looking at the crowd like, damn, these some Alabama Mexicans, you know? Because so some of the fool and the nah, dick, some of that shit ain't going to hit from Jerry. Mm-hmm. Or some of his jokes, they were just being very tight because this little group of chicks over here were like the fucking trendsetter setting the mood. Like if they were going to be difficult, it just kind of made everybody else difficult. Well, Midnight came out, figured the shit out, fucking dropped the bomb on them, like won them over. Oh, psh, bitch, happy birthday, bitch, or something. Next thing you know, it's like, oh, fuck. He, like, the room wasn't the problem.
Yeah. That raw shit. Yeah. He, yeah.
Crowd control.
That was a Stardome, right?
No. That was Stardome? No. That's also, that's in, I think that's in Alabama as well, I think. But, no, this was a club that was, it was a branch under Stand Up Live.
Oh, okay.
So the folks that own Phoenix also own, I think they own West Palm Beach.
Uh-huh.
But they, I think that's one of theirs.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. That's where we, I think you've been there. We met the white gentleman.
Oh, Brian Persane. Yeah.
That club.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Like, so I've probably only done it twice.
That's cool. Yeah.
I haven't heard that name in forever. Brian Persane.
He's out there, man. He's one of those alt comic guys that, you know, he don't need to be famous. He's got his little fans and followers. I mean, he had a good show out there before, right? We did after him. He did an early show that night.
That's how I know
it. He was getting off stage as we were getting.
It's funny. I was watching Seinfeld last night, one of the episodes with him in it. And I was like, oh, I haven't seen that guy in forever. And then you mentioned him today. And like, that's just weird.
Yeah, we there's a while there where we were running into some. We ran into T.J. Miller in Nashville when he was shooting his special. He shot his special at Zanny's Nashville.
Oh, no shit.
And we were there as he was doing his technical run through. They had that backdrop where he had a whole wall of made up comedy club names.
In the same font
as Zany's.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It was like Chuckle Bucket and whatever.
Funny shit.
Yucks. And I think Yuck
Yuck. Yeah, that's Canadian.
It's an actual
club, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an actual club. But it was like, they were all like clearly made up fictional comedy.
I wonder if that ever aired.
It just came out. I just saw someone take a picture of it on their, like they were watching on TV, and I was like, I was there. I got to see that.
So he must have had the weekend, and then you and I were doing the Thursday.
Yeah, the next night that he was shooting his special there. I think we were there like on a Wednesday or Thursday or something like that.
You know what's the next coolest thing to doing stand up and being out there on stage and on the road, you know, making people laugh, is podcasting. Like in your home state, or at least where you drove up, so in your neck of the woods, and talking about the shit. That's the next fucking best thing, because traveling is a bitch sometimes, man. And some of the headaches that come with different shit. But thankfully, man, I'm trying to line up jujitsu, the tequila kicking in.
You okay, papas?
The BJJ papas. My BJJ travel thing. When I go to Naples and shit like that, because the folks in Cal Allen, man, they're like hospitality, put me up on game. Hey, look, hey, carnal, hey, when you do this, homie, hey, that's the homo plata. People thinking it's like this, but you gotta do this. And this is why your triangle ain't working. You know what I mean? And this is active guard and all these things. I'm like, fuck, dude, I gotta write all this shit down. But so that was definitely a highlight. And I took Penny to jiu-jitsu the other day. And there were a couple other dads that I recognized from class, because I'm one of the dads that, like, I got a membership and I go, and them other two cats too. And we were just chit-chatting, right? And I don't know how it came up, but I basically said, like, well, when I travel, I try to, like, visit and drop in at some of these other cities. And after a little while, they're like, hey, man, so what do? That you get to travel and do jiu-jitsu on the road type shit. Because I think they both were complaining about, like, man, been missing a lot. It's hard to get it in sometimes. And I told them, like, stand-up comedian. They're just like, oh, shit, dude, that's fucking badass. So it's like, hold on, bro. So you telling me, so what's your name again? And where you be doing shows at, type of thing? What, you going to be at the Improv? I was like, I don't know, carnal. You know, it's tricky right now. I'm on, got demoted, if you will. You know, you sold so much liquor for us that we're going to say that,
yeah,
that you got to do a Wednesday now.
This
percentage, but it's okay. But it's all right. That's all the negotiation. Yeah. All those negotiations still happening. We ain't tripping. It's all love. But yeah, it's like, man, can't take that shit for granted. That the other jiu-jitsu dads are like, man, so hold on, bitch, you get to do jiu-jitsu out of town too, and what gyms have you been to?
That is,
but
a
it helps.
Cool perk.
It helps keep the travel blues away, right? Because when you're traveling just for the sake of work, like. when you get there that day, checking at the hotel, if you're lucky, you get a nap, and you go do the show, you go grab something to eat on the way back to the hotel, and you're flying out the next morning. Like, that's okay once in a while, but when that's like your life, like you're literally landing and leaving.
Go ahead.
It wears on the soul, man. Like, mm-hmm. So having those little adventures while you're out there helps
side
keep
quest.
It fresh.
But you know what?
Side quest.
Very
and
thankful.
That's content on its own, man. That's
yeah. True. Dude, very thankful and blessed that, like, I've heard, I forget who I was listening to when they were saying, I think it was Willie Barcena and George Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were talking about those, like, man, you're solitary, you flying in, you're mm-hmm. at the airport, you're here, you're checking into the hotel, and you're just kind of waiting around, and then finally you're out there and people know who you are and they laughing and shit, then you're done and you gotta somehow figure out how you're gonna go to sleep.
That's how you end up drinking too much.
That's what they were saying.
Partying too much, getting hooked on some shit you ain't got no business fucking with in the first
fucking
place.
Fucking with hoes or some goofy ass shit you ain't supposed to be doing.
Right.
But check this out. Dude, I literally was listening to them say that, and I thought to myself, well, thank God that I was blessed with, like, such, not only great comedians, but, like, friends, funny people that, like, mm-hmm. I never felt that. I never went through the fuck, because I was blessed enough to be able to do legit shows, weekends, or something to where we're able to guarantee, this is my commercial, this is my sales mm-hmm. vehicle, to the people that come to Chingo Blink Show, like, I want the reputation to be, when you go to a Chingo show, hey, bro, he brings some fucking heavy hitters, bro. Right. Like, Javi Luna gonna be there. This other cat, man, he got Midnight. Like, that's really what I want to pride myself on. And I want to keep it that way as much as possible. You know, there's times and situations where it's like, hey, like, Javi and I might have had a local host in the city where it's like, you know this guy? Yeah, no, all right, man, we rolling the dice with this boy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Like, I don't know how it applies to the comedy, but we were kind of talking about it on one of the previous episodes. Like, when it comes to music and comedy combined and just the event itself, how much fans of you are you guys of making a stand-up show more than just a stand-up show? So incorporating, like, I guess Schultz is the best example. He was doing it, right? Some sort of an act that's not related to music or comedy, but also having some music and also having, like, performers and also making, like, a big spectacle of it. Do you think that's, like, the evolution of... And the reason I say that is because, going back to business and marketing, if you're trading a commodity for money, you can always just price down to the cheapest commodity. But if you're offering more value, you have to offer something that's so good, people can't say no to it, right? So if your show is that much better because it offers so much more value than somebody just doing 30 minutes of stand-up, why would you not go to that show?
Okay, well, give me an example of who Schultz had on with him.
I didn't watch any of his, like, I've never been to a Schultz show, but I didn't, and I didn't watch a special, to be honest with you.
Is there, like, a DJ or something?
I mean, DJ, he had, like, the Dallas Cheerleaders there doing something. He had something else.
The comedy and DJ, I mean, there's a history of that, especially, like, you go back to like, Comic View and I don't remember, Def Jam had the DJ.
Yeah. Well, right, Steve-O's a perfect example of just doing stuff, right? He does stunts and does things, like, he adds comedy to stunts, and he has a whole visual where he shows this past Jackass stuff.
I think it's great, like, to add extra value to the show, like, mm-hmm. bring in some fun little stuff. If there's like a theme, like, even like my Valentine's show that I did back in Corpus, at the end of the show, I brought out the guitar, and my opener, Danielle Torres, came up, and we sang I'm Your Puppet.
Oh, nice.
Together. You know, just kind of funny. She did a kazoo solo. You know, just something to leave him like, hey, man, when I went to the Valentine show, like, he's funny, man, but then this.
Right.
This happened, you know.
I'm Your Puppet.
You know, something so funny. It's a funny song. It's old school.
I'm
like,
Your Puppet. That's why so many cholos are named Puppet.
You know,
because of that song right there.
And you know, Cinco de Mayo. You know, maybe whatever. You know, but then you bring a fucking mariachi band or you know, I don't know what. You know.
We did that one time. It was a Cinco de Mayo show. Yeah. I think it was Houston Improv, and I went up to the stage with mariachis.
Yeah,
but. But I got to see Schultz when he came to Houston. And if I had to, like, read his mind, I think he probably just got inspired by he attended something. And he's probably like, I need to fucking reach this level of, like, this crowd is fucking nuts.
I think it was actually a Metallica show.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
I believe it was, yeah. He's like, this is a spectacle. It's an event.
Okay.
It's not just...
And I think there's nothing wrong with adding entertainment value to a comedy show, right? It's you got to separate. I mean, comedy as entertainment and art are two separate things, and they can coexist. Right? You can. Yes, there's pure stand up, man. And if you want that, go to the Comedy Cellar. You know, it's low ceilings, dark, and that's what it is, and that's great. That's comedy in its purest form. But don't think you're gonna go do that and stand on Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. You know, unless you're like Stephen Wright or something. I don't even know if he's ever done a show that big. Because you gotta, if you're gonna do a show like that, you gotta fill that energy up, right? And if you really want, like what we were watching last episode, we were watching the DMX video. Oh. If you want your comedy show, the only way to elevate comedy to that level of energy is you have to add something else to it and start looking at it as just an art form and looking at it as I'm providing entertainment value. Also, now, I think you can't take it too far. Where he's like, bro, this ain't even stand up anymore. Like I think the dude told fucking three jokes.
With that being said, yeah.
You know, he brought on fucking five special guests in the middle of his set.
He did shout outs all in the beginning.
Shout out
to all the where am I?
Shout outs with the, hey, where's everybody from this neighborhood?
Where the single dads at?
Yeah, which I don't even
give it. Let me highlight the fellas real quick. Hey, it sounded like my
kings,
show.
My kings,
yeah. All my kings, stay vigilant.
Right, which is I think it's a slippery slope, right? You know, slippery slopes all over the world. Man, like even with this surge of crowd work comedy being so popular, it's before crowd work was a tool that you have as a comic that you develop. Like, hey, can he work the crowd? Oh yeah, he's good at working the crowd, man. But now motherfuckers are making it their entire act. Like they are a crowd work comic.
Are you serious?
Like it's like this dude don't even have a set. Like
I've never who the fuck.
Oh yeah,
say names, dude, bro. Dude. Come on.
Well, even
let's click.
Schultz had a whole crowd work special,
but it was edited from different sets. From different.
I thought it was intentionally crowd work.
Yeah, it was an intentional crowd work show. In fact,
the whole show was crowd work.
Yeah,
and in fact, there's a young comic from here, and I'm not knocking anybody. Right, it's just understanding we're starting to see deviations and even you know, not necessarily bastardizations, but just the art form is growing in different ways. Just like in music, you have pop music, there's pop comics, and those comics are meant to do arena. Your joke, like Joe Coy just did the arena in Corpus, dude. I went to go see Bill Burr, who is a comic doing AT&T Center Arena. Uh-huh. If he wants to go larger than that, like, it was great. It was a great show. It was funny. But the end,
after that,
it felt awkward because I'm like, dude, there's fucking like 10,000 people in here just listening to one guy talk. Like, it felt very
weird.
It
hits different.
It's different. Granted, he's so talented that he made that place feel about intimate. As small as you could. But like Fluffy did Dodger Stadium. He had to have lights,
yeah.
And fucking, you know, when Kevin Hart did the first, you know, fucking get fire on the ass.
Yep.
If he didn't have none of that, like, dude, that show, it would have fucking
sucked.
That
was Madison Square Garden, right?
Yeah. I don't remember where he did.
The one in Philly.
Yeah. You know, shit like that. Like, you got to bring something else to the table. But understand, you know, there is a vanishing point where you lose something.
Mm-hmm. So Schultz's show in Houston, the only like spectacle-ish things that he did was that obviously they got the big ass LEDs. So in the beginning, it's the Bruce Buffer, Michael Buffer, one of them cats doing like, you know, let's get ready to rumble, that whole thing. And then at the end, he brought up like, I think a fan or two.
Yeah.
And they had a quick huddle. They're like, all right, we're going to sing fucking Britney Spears or whatever. And like fucking quick tell the DJ. And it was just like a thing where just to cap off the night, probably to get that social media shot of like everybody in the back fucking singing this shit, just to show like we had a great time. If you fucking missed this shit type of vibe, you know what I mean? Right. That was the only like non-stand-up spectacle-y things.
But the thing with Schultz is that's a special that he did. Like he has material. But like because it's always monkey see, monkey do, right? Now you have guys that aren't at Schultz level, that doesn't have his material, doesn't have his writing abilities, like building their whole brand over, like, oh, I went viral for this guy that was heckling me, and I, you know,
oh wow,
whatever, you know, and you know, get it how you get it. Now they're doing, you know, you're a local comic and you got a whole crowd work show at the Improv. You know.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
Like it's kind of weird, but it's gonna be a splinter. It's gonna be a deviation. Like, hey, yeah, oh yeah, he's that guy. Yeah, he's a crowd work comic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not a writer. He's not a writer. You want to? Oh, you want to go see writers? Mm-hmm. You don't go to the improv. You got to go to the Blind Tiger, you know, comedy club. You know, it's like I wouldn't go to. I don't know any Houston clubs, but like. Like, there's different music clubs, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you want to hear punk music, yeah. go to a punk club. Don't go to a country western bar mm-hmm. and be pissed off because mm-hmm. because they you know they're not playing some fucking punk ass or hard rock ass shit. You know, you went to the wrong establishment. I think you know there's different lanes for comedy, man. There's gonna be guys that are gonna do stadiums and have fucking fireworks yeah. and have a band behind them mm-hmm. and if that's what you want to do, go do that yeah. and there's going to be dudes that want to do it in a cafe with 50 people and like on some like fucking jazz shit, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, great, go do that, go be great at that. But
the amount of people that Schultz had in there, like, you have to take into consideration, because it's almost like it fit perfectly to do what he did, because it wasn't just like, sure, he could have just told jokes, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, but it was like a nice touch. But I just want to touch on this real quick, speaking of that. When you said deviations, mm-hmm. that's interesting, because the musical appreciation exchange that Rob and I would do, like, man, check out this, all right, you check mm-hmm. out these type of thing, which we talked about on previous episodes. But I feel like anytime you do like either film appreciation or music appreciation, mm-hmm. you start to learn all the lingo and nomenclature and all the tropes and the tricks and see who deviated from who. You know right. what I'm saying? Like, right. okay, who did Tarantino? Like, in your opinion, who did Tarantino kind of like? Who's he made of?
Oh, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
the influences.
Yeah, whether it's like, well, there's a bit of film noir. It just depends on how right. nerdy you want to get. Like, oh, is it Alfred Hitchcock? Did he play a role? And this is that. But when you peep, like, the history, like, let's just say music, for example, mm-hmm. when you understand, all right. Okay, what region? Okay, are you telling me this rapper's from New York? All right, well, who are his influences? You know what I mean? You start getting all algorithmic with it. Like, okay, you're telling me this guy, all right, well, what borough? What era?
Right.
You know, because like 50 Cent, he's going to have certain things. And
who is he trying modeling himself after? Yeah,
I mean, yeah, we talk.
Inspired
yeah.
by everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It just kind of helps assess, like, for example, when people try to compare like Latino stand-up comics, like, oh, why is this guy beefing with this guy? It's like, they're not even the same style.
Right.
They're two different styles. Y'all just looking at it because of their ethnic makeup.
Right.
Y'all putting yeah, these two that, people together.
They got nothing in common.
Totally different styles.
In common. You wouldn't compare Jim Gaffigan with Dane Cook, right? Well, because they ain't even, you know, you see their brands.
Totally different, actually. Those I had to think of like
a hot pocket.
Yeah.
He shits there and he's kind of like this.
Jim Gaffigan, clean, yeah. stands in one place. Yep.
Boom, boom, boom.
That's funny. So next voices joke. Versus Dane Cook, who's jumping all yeah. over the place. He's the physical.
BK, Burger King. I call it the BK Lounge.
you know.
It's like, why is he moving like that when he says BK Lounge? I
want to do a B&E. B&E.
What is that?
Breaking and entering oh. the whole bit.
Oh fuck! Okay, dude, I haven't heard.
Yeah, his when shit he climbs through the window.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah. You know, and it's like, don't compare. So yeah, you can't do that. And one thing is comedians have been super gatekeepy, right? They did it to musical comics, right? Like, oh, that's a crutch. Oh, what do you play guitar on stage or
piano?
Do piano? No, it's just a genre, guy. Just fucking let it be. Or even ventriloquist, right? Oh, with your puppets. Yeah, it's yeah. ventriloquist comedy, whatever. Yeah, and there's hypnotism in comedy.
Hey, when I did props, when I did El Mamado, yeah, I did characters, wigs. Characters. I got to fill this time.
Hey, whatever. And that's cool. Is it?
I need
same?
A couple of volunteers on
Why
stage.
Why are you trying to compare apples Señora and oranges? Tú. Yeah, they're both fruit.
Jalamela.
And that shit was hilarious, bro.
I put out the exercise band before I go do a show. Don't forget my wigs and my sports.
Who wants to do burpees with me on stage?
It wasn't any less or more entertaining than what we're doing now. It was just a different type of entertainment for a different audience.
And you know what's the main feedback I get? Oh, I thought we were going to, like, where's the Canelo? Hey, where's the date? Yeah. Where's Tio? Hey, I thought we were going to see Tio Juve.
Can we see him dance?
It's like, no, I'm going to talk about me, my personal life, and my family.
Right.
Ooh.
Gay,
boo,
and that's fine. And there's an audience for that, right? Is it the same? Is it the same audience?
We don't want to know the real you.
That's where finding your lane is. There's nothing wrong with that. Comics used to feel. I used to hear it all the time. Starting off, funny is funny. Funny is funny. You have to be universally funny. No, fuck me. That's how you end up being watered down. Fucking shit. That's why my special is called Not For Everybody, dude. Like, it's not for everybody. There's gonna be motherfuckers to be like, that wasn't funny at all.
Some people don't have a sense of humor.
Great, move the fuck on. Obviously, our senses of humor do not match up, and I'm probably not for you anyway. So, why would you want to come?
And some people's comedic styles don't lend themselves sometimes to viral reels. Like, if you're more of a storyteller, or if you know. Right. Whatever, that joke, like, man, one of the hardest lines is the callback. But if you can't include that all in the fucking YouTube short.
Right.
Or some people's style is a little bit more set up, punch, set up, punch.
I'm having a hard time right now. Juan's trying to help me out because a lot of my bits are longer format now. You know, that's just the kind of comic I grew into. So I got to try to cut these down into 1-minute bits. And we're like, do we maybe make it a 2-parter, 3-parter? Just so people can see it, because unfortunately everything's getting absorbed in 1-minute increments right now. So if you are a shorter style joke writer, you know, not necessarily set up punch, but if you can tell that it's very short versus where, you know, my problem is my bits go on forever because I tag the shit out of it. Like I'm on one joke for 5, 6, 7 minutes before, and then I got 3 more jokes on the same subject line that, you know, the
chunks.
Yeah, chunks. I did an hour and 5 minutes this past weekend on each show, and I didn't repeat a single one of the jokes that I did on your show for 25 minutes. The people that came out, they're like, oh man, we were hoping you were going to do the substitute. You didn't do none of the substitute material. I was like, yeah, my whole set that weekend with you was about substitute teaching. I did 25 minutes on substitute teaching.
That's crazy.
That I've never done before. It's just where I'm at in my writing right now. It's flowing, you know.
Dope.
So
that's badass.
So, but that makes my shit hard to truncate down to a 1 minute.
Yeah,
you know, real.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah,
yeah.
Because we're in the real era.
Yeah, which is fine.
You know what's interesting?
You just gotta find a different lane, man. People are gonna find me a different way. You know,
maybe this might relate back to the sales vehicle thing, but like there's some veteran comedians who maybe they've had like ups and downs, which everybody does, to where they fuck around, have a whole resurgence.
Yeah, Barcena is having.
Oh, he's a great that's
example
awesome.
Of that, and well deserved, dude. I mean, he honestly, you know, he, I mean, I've been a fan of his since before I started doing comedy. Hilarious cat. So to see him, you know, but you know, his TikTok started. I think his son. I don't know the whole story. His son started putting his TikToks. His old stand-up
videos, filming and editing
on TikTok, and now he's generating new content now while he's on the road, and he's, you know, gonna be bigger than he ever was back when he was big the first time, you know, which is great.
That's what I'm saying, man. I gotta start bringing the video guy, bro.
Yeah,
it
helps, man. I'm trying to do better. You know, I'm a one-man operation. I try to record mine as best I can. You never know. What helps for me is like the. I always open up with like a good like fresh 5, like it's just about that town I'm in or something that happened that day or whatever, you know. And to me, that's the best I can do because those are short little one-offs, you know. Like last night, I had the mic go off, dude, so I started like doing my bit, like whole acapella, like stuff like that. Like that's never gonna happen again. Like, so whatever I said within that 5 minutes, like, that's not material to me. Like, that can go up and you know, be short little content filler.
What if Chingo Bling fans would go to a show expecting one song from the past to be like the finisher? Like, yeah, you have your closer joke and then your closer song. So in Brownsville, you do Puro Party, and then you go to Denver and you do whatever, right? Cuvo. Uh-huh. And if they knew that, like, because we've never really done content where you fuse music and the comedy together. Like, if you took your old catalog, because it's evergreen. Music's awesome because it's evergreen. People always want to hear the hits, right? They always want to hear things that they loved growing up. Jokes, yeah, sometimes, too, but it's so much rarer to have, like, a bit people want to hear over and over again. But if they knew that you were fusing your content and then at a show, you'd get the experience of, like, the Chingo Bling stand-up hour, and right, you'd get, like, a performance at the end of one song, you know?
Sorry.
I was just going to... Go ahead.
I was going to build off what he's... What if it even became, like... Like, while you're there, you shoot a visualization, not necessarily a music video, but if you're having that camera crew, it's like, hey man, we're gonna release the footage that we filmed here. It's gonna be with the song playing over it. It's gonna be real hype. Like,
you drop a rap for every city,
Puro Party, and you're getting people in the crowd like, hey, Puro Party, whatever. And you know, they can look for that. Then they can, hey man, you like the whatever, the video drops next week or whatever.
Dude, a 60-second music video where it's like different bars from every, you know, you drop some bars for Brownsville, uh-huh, for instance, and it's like that show is the music video for that, you know, short, right?
And then the next time you come back, that's the promo. Hey, remember, last time we came back, this is all the fun we had, and you got the music playing.
I'd have to think of how I would set it up.
Yeah,
like in terms of like explaining it, only because sometimes performing music at comedy clubs, it lands a little flat. Uh-huh. And maybe because I'm setting it up wrong. Like, uh-huh, oh, well, you're doing it right from the beginning, and they're just sitting there. They just finished seeing someone tell jokes, and now you're fucking coming out here, want them to get crunk. So it almost had to be like, all right, guys, I know I'm 43. I know I don't even really do music like that. But for me, could y'all just, you know what I mean, make me feel like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Almost like set up, and let's just say the song was Puro Party. You know, have to just be delivered in a way to where it's like y'all gotta back me up. Like, I'm not gonna do this. It's not gonna work. Like, I'm not gonna be up here for 60 seconds trying to force y'all to turn up if y'all not knowing what we doing, so that you can, instead of they're just like, oh, okay, well, fuck, thought the show was over, but anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, you want me to get up, do you?
Yeah, I think that would depend on having, you know, a host that can get that energy up. I think it would be fine to start it off like that. Mm-hmm. You know, just to come on stage with one is a very high energy to come with, but then it has to
do it at the end.
So, but if you're liking starting off slow, then yeah, because if you start off, you can't do that and then go straight into like.
Yeah. So a funny thing happened
on
the way to the venue. Yeah.
So you got to escalate it. To then be like,
oh, what's up with airport food, airplane food?
You guys want to talk about this idea over lunch? I'm sure you guys are hungry.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Are we taking? How we doing on time?
We're there.
Okay, bet. For sure. Ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all so much for being the littest part of this whole situation. You know, the audience member listening. Please tell a friend, share it. Tour dates,
April 6th, East Austin Comedy Club, Gordito de Mayo on May 5th at Upstage Comedy Club in San Antonio. Both those on my link tree. And don't forget the special March 10th on YouTube, Javi Luna, not for everybody.
Hell yeah. I don't know when this drops, but check out my website, chingobling.com. You can see all my tour dates. I know we have Naples, March 5th, Odessa, Texas, March 11th, Fresno, California, March 23rd, Merced, California, March 24th, Visalia, March 25th. And I think we're doing Pasadena Ice House. That's right, George Lopez Home Club, March 31st. Amazing, amazing video venue. We have El Paso, April 6th through the 8th. So many more dates. Hit up the website. All my people in Sacramento, San Jose, Brownsville, Alamo, Texas, Albuquerque, Victoria, College Station, Waco, Austin, San Antonio. And we're working on some more because we got bills to pay. Thank you. Sass.